بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 12th of May in the year 2021 الحمد لله We moved on to the final blessed day of the holy month of Ramadan in which we've been graced with 30 this year. So, to conclude the glorious month and its connection with the glorious book, to mention some of the awesome virtues of the Quran. So first of all, in a hadith in Darimi, the Salaf, rahimahumullah, they mentioned, the Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the heavens and the earth and all that they contain. The Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the heavens and the earth and all that they contain. So what is contained in the heavens and the earth? Everything we know. And yet the Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why our beloved Messenger himself said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 2590, anyone who recites the Quran and then thinks that someone else has been given something better than his recitation, has then belittled what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has magnified. Subhanallah. So here the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if you recite the Quran and you get the whisper that somebody else has got something better, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you've belittled the Quran. There's nothing greater than the Quran, no matter what your mind is thinking. Every letter of the Quran is precious. In a hadith in Tabarani, in his Awsat, number 6616, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, 7-339, our beloved Messenger said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran contains 1,027,000 letters. Thus, whoever recites the Quran patiently, anticipating reward, shall have a wife from the huris of paradise for each letter. Subhanallah. So here, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was saying that for every letter of the Quran that you recite, you will be given a huri. And he mentioned a figure, 1,027,000 letters. So if you take it literally, completing the entire Quran, you will be married to millions of huris by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning paradise is your abode. The question that goes through many people's mind is that what about if a person recites the Quran without understanding? So Hafiz Munawi in his Faidul Qadir 5-12, Hafiz Zahbi in his Sir 11-347, Imam Ghazali's Ihya, Imam Ahmad Rahmatullah Alayh, he had a dream. And during the dream, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he asked, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the most superior way with which the intimate approach? So this is a very interesting question Imam Ahmad asked. He wasn't asking for the layman. He wasn't saying, what is the way that the people can get close to you? He was asking about the awliyas. He goes, what is the most superior way with which the intimate approach? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, with my words, O Ahmad. So Imam Ahmad asked, with understanding or without understanding? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, with understanding or without understanding? So here, simply put, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's telling Imam Ahmad that the awliyas cannot get closer to me through the Quran. There's no other way. It's the quickest way to get close to the awliyas. Whether they understand it or they don't understand it, it makes no difference. So this explains that you do not need to understand the Quran for it to have that impact. However, of course, you should strive to understand the Quran. And this is why there's a report in Hakim, and he states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari, Zahbi, Sahih. Our beloved messenger himself said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is nothing that facilitates nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than that which has emanated from him, meaning the Quran. There is nothing that facilitates nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than which has emanated from him, meaning the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala himself, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the quickest route to Allah Ta'ala is the Quran. So if you look at all these reports and others which I'll mention, you realize why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the Quran in the holy month of Ramadan. He's given you the fast, and the fast is priceless in Ramadan. And he's put the Quran in Ramadan. Why? Because of all these blessings that Allah Ta'ala wants to give to the ummah of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why if you truly appreciate the Quran, in Tabrani in his Kabir, number 738, Abu Ya'la, number 2773, Bihaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 2614, Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid, 7-329, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran is a wealth after which there is no poverty. Indeed, there is no wealth other than it. The Quran is a wealth after which there is no poverty. Indeed, there is no wealth other than it. So two things the Prophet said here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have the Quran, he goes, then you can never be poor. It's the greatest wealth Allah has given you. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in reality, there is no other wealth. So imagine you say to a person, this person's wealthy. So the first thing that goes to your mind is money. You know, I didn't mean that. So the person then goes, okay, oh, do you mean that he's spiritually wealthy? Yes. But there is no greater spiritual wealth than what? The Quran. Meaning the more of the Quran you've got, the more real wealth you have. And the less the Quran, the less wealth Allah Ta'ala has given you. Now, in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala is giving you clues how beloved the Quran is. So there's a verse. In Surah 35, verse 29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. إن الذين يتلون كتاب الله وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم. Allah Ta'ala mentions three deeds. What does he say first? Verily, those who recite the book of Allah. That's the first thing he mentions. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, and establish the salat. Second thing. Then he says, and they spend out of that which we have provided for them. So what Allah Ta'ala mentioned first? Does he mention salat first? No. Does he mention sadaqah? No. He mentions reciting the Quran first. So Allah Ta'ala is hinting, because you might not appreciate this, but he's telling you in his book, reciting the Quran is number one. Yatluna innal ladhina yatluna kitab Allah. Those who recite the book of Allah. Then he mentions, wa aqamu salah wa anfaqu mimma razaqnahu. So note, even above the establishing of salat, and even the salat is not accepted without the Quran. Notice Fatiha, how integral it is with regards to the salat. This is why there's another report where the Prophet sallallahu in the Quran. So you got this verse, you've got another verse. In Surah Yunus, alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 10, verse 61. Look at the words. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim.
وَمَا تَكُونُوا فِي شَأْن.
In whatever business you are engaged.
وَمَا تَتْلُوا مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآن.
And whatever portion of the Quran you recite.
وَلَا تَأْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ.
Whatever deed you are doing,
إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ,
we are witnesses to it. So look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. What does he say first? Whatever business you are engaged in, whether you're fasting, you're giving sadaqah, you're doing jihad, you're doing anything, Allah ta'ala goes, whatever business, وَمَا تَقُونُ فِي شَأْن. What's the first thing he then mentions? وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنِ. Whatever portion of the Qur'an you recite. Then he says, وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلِ. Whatever good deed you are doing. إِلَّا كُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شُهَدَى. Except we are witnesses. Now what's amazing in this passage? Allah Ta'ala talks about deeds. He doesn't even mention them. Whatever business you are engaged, does he mention the deed? Then he mentions, whatever deed you are doing, does he mention the deed? No. We are witnesses. But he mentions one. وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنِ. Whatever portion of the Qur'an you recite, he mentions that, even though it's a deed. Why? Because it's beloved to him. So look at these verses. This is why the Qur'an, if you go through it too quick, you miss this. Surah 10 verse 61 and Surah 35 verse 29. How beloved is the Qur'an to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he's mentioning it separately. This is why the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were giving very interesting instructions. In Tabrani in his Kabir number 8687, Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman number 2220, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid number 11669, Sahih, Fath al-Bari Sahih. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Adimun nadada fil mushaf. Permanently look into the Mus'haf. So first, what did he say? Adimun nadhara fil Mus'haf. Permanently look into the Mus'haf. Is that possible? Somebody goes, look, 24/7 look at the Quran. Keep looking at it. So obviously, it can't mean that. So what did he mean? What he meant was, this should be your number one deed. If somebody goes to you, what does that brother do? He reads Quran. And he goes, anything else? You don't need to know anything else. If a person is described like that, you can understand he's awliya. Allah Ta'ala won't allow that for anybody else. So Ibn Mas'ud said, permanently look into the Quran. And what do you notice in the month of Ramadan? People wake up. Right? And they don't wake up for the right reason. It's just Allah Ta'ala's helping them. As soon as Allah Ta'ala's help goes, they go back to the, magazines in it, right? And this is why there's a report. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 2022, Kanz al-Umal, number 2264, Qudai in his Musnad, number 1284, the best of my ummah's act of worship is the recital of the Qur'an by sight. The best of my ummah's act of worship is the recital of the Qur'an by sight. That's the answer. He gave you the answer, the Prophet ﷺ. There's no better deed than that. That you're looking at the Qur'an and you're reading the Qur'an. How can it be? Because it's Allah Ta'ala's kalam. This is why shaitan will try his utmost for you not to do this. Because this is most beloved. And people, imagine. Astaghfirullah. Strong in every department except Quran. Think about that. MashaAllah, brother, what's hunger clue, brother? I don't study Quran. In another report, it mentions in Sahih Muslim, number 1325, a Sahaba was reciting Surah Al Kahf, Surah 18. And his horse got agitated. He looked up and he saw light. When he mentioned this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that was the sakina which descends due to the recital of the Quran. Meaning, you should have continued reading. Why did you stop? That was sakina coming. Imam Nawawi said something here, rahmatullah alayhi, in his sharh Sahih Muslim, 3-148. It is a reason of the descent of divine mercy and the presence of the angels. Also, the virtue of listening to the Quran becomes manifest. So Imam Nawawi said three things about this hadith. Because the first thing is, rahmah starts coming when you start reciting the Quran. Don't we want rahmah? Secondly, angels start coming. Don't you want angels? And thirdly, what's the reward for listening to the Quran? The angels know. That's why they're coming. So listening to the Quran, also the virtue is mentioned here from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why people have problems at home, because they don't read the Quran at home. So when the Quran is not being recited, angels won't attend that dwelling. If angels don't attend, who's going to move in? Right? Shaitan. And then straight away you're going to feel real darkness when you enter your house. That's why you need to recite the Quran. You know, even if it's a page a day in your house. Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi, he said, in Ibn Abi Shayba number 30,042, Qurtubi in his tafsir, 1-31 sahih, rahmah descends upon the completion of the Quran. So when the Quran is completed, special mercy descends, said Mujahid. A very special type of mercy descends. One of the Salaf said, when a person completes the Quran, an angel alayhi salatu wasalam kisses him between the eyes. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 2074, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 8-355, Khatib al-Baghdadi number 5912. Now why is that interesting? An angel, do angels kiss humans? Whenever you have come across a hadith where an angel kisses a human, show me, right? The angels come, yeah, we hear the reports, they come. When do they kiss? Then you can say, oh yes, when you complete the Quran, why have they kissed you? Meaning, they've got affection for you because they like to hear the Quran. You're attracting the angels. So when you've completed the Quran, they kiss you with honor. And don't forget, the angels cannot do anything by themselves. Who's told them to kiss you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, Allah ta'ala, look how pleased He is. He's told the sinless one to kiss the sinful. We should be kissing them. Which angel kisses you? Right? Think about that. I wouldn't go, you know, I wouldn't think it's strange that even if Jibreel kissed you, why is the Quran? Alayhi salatu wasalam. So now what's interesting here, there's another report. The report mentions, this is in Day 11, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, when a servant completes the recitation of the Quran, 60,000 angels invoke blessings of Allah the Almighty upon him. 60,000 angels say, Ya Allah, bless him, bless him. Imagine if somebody says to you, I know of a deed that will make 60,000 saints pray for your forgiveness. Peer Sahab. When you hear that golden word, peer, everybody wakes up. Oh, Peer Sahab, right? What? 60,000 of them are going to pray for your forgiveness if you do this one deed. You'll get people down the streets. Oh, come on, what is it? Well, I don't know about Peer Sahab, right? About 60,000 angels will pray for your forgiveness. And straight away people, as if angels are less than the peers. And the completion of the Quran causes this. So they pray for your forgiveness, mashallah. Another report mentions, in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 2075, the Salaf said, whoever completes the Quran during the day, he is forgiven on that day. Whoever completes the Quran during the night, he is forgiven that night. Instantly he's forgiven. Allah Ta'ala will secure his forgiveness. Why could you not be forgiven? Angels kissing you, 60,000 angels praying for your forgiveness, instantly forgiven. Start again. You'll be wiped out. If it's during the day, during the day, during the night, during the night. In another report it mentions, this is recorded in Darimi, number 3483, is Hassan Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, 5-26, Qanz al-Oman, number 2390, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, one of the 10, radiyallahu, he said, when the completion of the Quran takes place at the beginning of the night, then the angels send mercy upon him till the morning. Similarly, if this completion takes place at the end of the night, then the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, send blessings upon him till the evening. Thus, when one of us had something remaining, we would delay it till the evening or morning, i.e. to get the full blessings from the angels. So let's look at this. So Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, one of the earliest Muslims, one of the 10 promised paradise, radiyallahu, he said, when you complete the Quran, The angels will continue praying for your forgiveness either till Fajr or Maghrib. Now, then he said, so we, the companions, we would complete the Quran just after Maghrib. So we will get the full night of the angels praying for us. Or just after Fajr. So we get the whole until Maghrib. So what are the Sahaba teaching you? Because you can actually make the angels do more dua for you. So straight after Maghrib, you make a dua. Why? Because then all the way till Fajr, they're praying for your forgiveness or praying for your mercy. And the Sahaba would do this. This was the sunnah of the Sahaba. So technically, what's the worst time to finish the Quran, if I can say that? Just before Maghrib. So imagine you do it 2 minutes before Maghrib. For 2 minutes, the angels praying for your forgiveness, then they stop. Would it have been more wise to wait until after Maghrib? You understand? Or the other point, just before Fajr. You finish just before. Why don't you wait just after Fajr? Because they're going to stop making dua for you. So this is what the Sahaba were teaching us, radiyallahu. There's also a special dua that will be answered. In Darimi number 3842, Sahih Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 2072, Mujahid Rahmatullah Ali said, the dua is assured acceptance upon the khatam of the Quran. You are guaranteed that dua has a special place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will answer this. But the Sahaba, the Tabi'in didn't explain what that meant. Our beloved messenger himself gave you a sign, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Bayhaqi and Tabarani. Whenever the Quran is completed, one dua is guaranteed. Whenever the Quran is completed, one dua is guaranteed. Meaning you make a dua, but you might need a special dua. Now what's strange is when you say to a person that you got a special dua, this is the state of the Muslims. They think about dunya. Right? So you should say, well, I've only really got one special dua. Forgiveness. And then the person goes, oh, yeah. Oh, what about business? Right? Business more important than forgiveness, brother. No, brother. I was thinking about, nothing is more important than forgiveness. But if you're that desperate, make the dua for that. It will be guaranteed. Think about it. Everybody got a special dua. Oh yeah, what a man. What's that dua for, brother? And it's always dunya. We stay at the Muslims, isn't it? Always dunya. Oh brother, I need children. I need a job. I need to get married. Brother, what about forgiveness? And it's right down on the list. Oh, sorry. I wasn't thinking. What if you get a nice, mashallah, you already want, brother? You want a nice job? Yeah. You drop dead next day. Then what happens? What happens to your job? Right? You want children? Drop dead next day, what happens? Right? You pray for forgiveness. I'll put it there, brother. You drop dead now, you're alright. Right? But people, I don't know, what planet they are, isn't it? Astaghfirullah. Another gift given. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever you complete the Quran, one tree is granted for you in paradise. One tree is granted for you in paradise. This is in Bayhaqi. So when you hear this report, what do you actually think to yourself? You're thinking, is that all I get? After all those atom bombs, right? I've only got one tree in paradise. So what did I mention about Ramadan? If you offer one prostration in Ramadan, you get a tree whose shadow takes 500 years to cross. Or you can't cross within 500 years. That's one tree. That tree is probably as big as Neptune. So if that's just for a sujood in Ramadan, what do you think this tree is going to be? That Allah Ta'ala is going to give you for completing the Quran. So this tree is probably something beyond comprehension. And notice how many trees there are in paradise. Every other hadith, get a tree. Allah Ta'ala is giving you Jannah. But this is for completing the Quran. Now, in an average lifespan, how many times would you think a person would complete the Quran? So using the bare minimum, you complete the Quran twice a year. From the age of 13, and your average life is 65. So 52 times 2. So you will finish the Quran 100 times in your life. That's an average person. Taking the lowest. So imagine meeting Allah Ta'ala. How many times did you complete my book? 100 times. This is how the Salaf, this is how much they did it. In Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 8-4, when Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash was dying, His sister was weeping. He said, don't weep. Then he pointed to the corner of the house. He said, your brother has read the Quran 18,000 times in that corner. You don't weep. I don't need your tears. So let's look at this. So obviously he's from the Salaf, Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in. He's dying. He's in his house. Sister's weeping. You know, you think, obviously, you know, they're going to weep because their brother's dying. What did he say? You could have mentioned any deed. What deed did he mention? Because they know, we don't know. We'd probably come out with something like, oh, yeah. I went in path of Allah. Right? Oh, no, right? No, I gave sadaqah. I did nafal fast. What did the Salaf say? Because they know how to get Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. They don't weep. Then he pointed to a corner. So imagine if I went to, you know, you came to my house and he goes, you know, in that corner of your house there. How many times you've read Quran? I would think, what sort of a silly question is that? We'll find it in shop. Like, so, if somebody says to me, how many times, Brother Yusuf, have you read the Quran in that corner? I'll be honest, I'll say to you, why are you asking me that question for? Now, why am I saying that? Because, do we read Quran in corner? That's the first question. Read it in the masjid, read it on my settee, maybe possibly in bedroom, corner. Whoa. It's okay. What if somebody goes, yeah, I've read it once in the corner. I'll tell you straight, you think, MashaAllah, you read Quran in that corner. This saintly man said, 18,000 times I read Quran, completed it. That doesn't mean that anywhere else he didn't read Quran. That was just in that corner. So now, let's break this down. In 60 years, he recited 300 times the Quran every year. That's roughly one khatam a day. This man has now met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what he's gone with. What are you going to go with? Sawar kumis, got 100 khatams in. MashaAllah. Right? So this is the thing, right? You should be looking at the, like the Prophet ﷺ said, look at those higher than you. So you strive thinking, how am I supposed to compete with that? Well, there you go. At least you're on the right track now. So the bare minimum in your heart, you're thinking, I've got at least 1,000 times. At least 1,000 times. How many khatams are you doing, brother? Right? And he goes, 2 a year. Right? You need to live, you know, 600 years. Right? And he goes, hey. So to do 1,000 khatams, to us is a big thing. Now, why did they do that? Because they knew this is how Allah Ta'ala's pleasure comes. They had that connection with the Quran. And don't forget, it wasn't just a khatam. They were studying it, they were imbibing it, they were living it, but they were just living the Quran. You wanted tafsir in those days, you didn't need to go to books. Imagine, somebody goes, what's the commentary of this verse? He's the commentary. Go to him. He says, why point it? Because he's living Quran. You don't need books. Now you get books out. Oh yeah, well, according to this commentary in Qurtubi, right? Oh, are you living it? Right? And he goes, oh, no, it's in book, innit? Yeah, subhanAllah, innit? When you recite the Quran, should you make dua afterwards? Now this isn't just for the khatam. You know, some people, they read the Quran, they kiss it, and they finish. There's no dua. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever recited the Quran, meaning no khatam, just read a page, just juz, whatever, then praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then asked forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has then sought goodness from its very source. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 2084. So what was the Prophet telling you? It's sunnah for you to make dua after you recite the Quran. Whether you read one line or 100 lines of the whole Quran. And the Prophet ﷺ said, don't forget to ask for forgiveness. Why? That's the most important part of your dua. He didn't say, you know, this, that, koti, land, property. He goes, forgiveness. Because you ask from the source. Meaning, how can Allah Ta'ala turn you away from this? In another report, the Quran isn't just beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He'll give you the ultimate treasures. It's also, we need it like air and water. Now, what do I mean by that? In Bayhaqi, Al-Bidayah 3-214, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 202, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Never get tired of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his zikr. Otherwise, your hearts will harden. Never get tired of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his zikr. Otherwise, your hearts will harden. Now, what's interesting? After Ramadan, what happens? What is this, 11 months now? What are you doing in 11 months? Do Durood Sharif and what about Quran? Well, Ramadan is Quran, brother. And then what happens? Your heart. The impact on your heart is going to become really bad. It's going to get hard, meaning it's not going to be responsive. You're going to be like a dried lake because you've abandoned the Quran. Right? People say, oh, tears don't come out. Don't they? Read Quran, brother. See what happens. In another report, he mentions, this is to explain this. The hadith is in Bayhaqi, it is Shu'ab al-Iman, number 2233. Bayhaqi in his Asma wa Sifat, Ibn Asakir in his Tariq, Dimishq 39-239, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 62. Amir al-Mu'mineen Uthman, radiallahu anhu, he said, had our hearts been pure, we would never get enough of the Quran. And I would not like a single day to pass without looking at the Quran. The Salaf added, when he passed away, the pages of his Quran were in tatters because he was often looking into it. So let's look at this. So if I was to say to you, what is Uthman's greatest virtue? He himself telling you something about himself. Think about it. You know, why is he telling you? You know, the Sahaba never boasted. This is as close as you get to Uthman boasting. And what's he boasting about? As close as you get, Quran. Stay away. What about his fast? What about his jihad? What about his zikr? All about Quran. And what did he say? He goes, if your hearts were pure, you could never get enough of the Quran. Stay away. Our hearts pure. No, because we're getting, it's taklif. Even in Ramadan, you see people, they're reading Quran, you can tell this like a bojanam. And then he goes, why are you like so worried about finishing? Because he's a boy, his heart's not pure. Uthman's telling you that. Then he said, I do not like a single day to pass without looking at the Quran. Now what's shocking about that? He's Hafiz. So why is he looking into the Quran? Because he knows that this is a beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much did he look into the Quran? After he died, one of the Salaf said he was in tatters. In other words, he turned it. Because he just kept looking into it. He couldn't get enough of looking at the Quran, Sayyidina Uthman. And how did Allah the Almighty crown his life off with? He was martyred reading the Quran. He actually finished his life doing that deed that he loved to do so very much, radiallahu. And also, you know, there's many reports about Sayyidina Uthman, just to add this. Sayyidina Uthman, radiallahu, recited the entire Quran in one rakat when he was in his 80s. One rakat witr, next to the maqam of Ibrahim. And the man was sitting there and he was in shock. And the man actually thought he's forgot the second rakat. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you only did one rakat. And he goes, that was my witr. Now look how interesting that is. The man was going straight to fiqh mode. Like people do not fiqh. Right? And then he went, oh, my witr. Meaning I read the entire Quran. But thanks. Right? Now somebody goes to you, you know, we just completed the Quran in tajjid. Right? And then you think back, you're thinking, could I do that in one rakat? And then you go, oh yeah, how old are you, brother? I'm 50. Wait till you're 82. Then try it. And then somebody goes to you, not at home, brother. Oh, you're home. No, you're going to do 82. Go and do Hajj. Not in hotel. Go to the maqam. You're in Ihram. Now do it. Right? You're thinking, are you feeling good? Me and the Mu'mineen did it. Why are you doing it? He knew how to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to add, to finish, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and this sums it up. In Qudai, in his Musnad al-Shihab, number 28, or 1-51, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Qur'anu huwa dawa. The Qur'an is the cure. Al-Qur'anu huwa ad-dawa. The Quran is the cure. Full stop. Now, Sunni goes, I don't get it. How does that sum it up? You go, right. Brother, are you ill? And he goes, yeah, Quran will cure it. Which verse? Any verse. A to Z. A person goes, oh no, I've got a spiritual illness. It's not physical illness. Quran will cure it. Jinn affecting you. Quran will cure it. Mashallah. Oh no, it's not a spiritual illness, brother. It's a social illness. There's a problem in society. Quran will cure it. See? No. It's not a social problem, brother. It's a political problem. Palestine, what's happening now? Gaza's getting bombed. Quran will cure it. No. It's not a political problem. It's a barzakhi problem in the grave. Quran will cure it. No. It's not grave. It's the day of judgment problem. Quran will cure it. So are you telling me the Quran cures every single... I told you the hadith, maybe you weren't listening. What did the Prophet say? Did he say it's a cure for one thing? He goes, it is the cure. Guess what? You're not taking it. Why do you think we're in this mess? Right? We've abandoned the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has given you the shafa for everything. And the proof that we've abandoned it is that we don't turn to it. If somebody goes to you now, brother, I've got a headache. Read the need, Fatiha. Oh, paracetamol, isn't it? Paracetamol's there, isn't it? Right? So paracetamol's got better shafa than Fatiha. And he goes, oh, you tricked me there, brother. Right? Why are you turning to paracetamol? Because you're abandoning the Quran. Or even worse, it doesn't work. Have you heard that one? It doesn't work. Alhamdulillah. Who makes the paracetamol work? Right? And he goes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala's put shafa in paracetamol, but he's not put it in his own word. You trick me again, brother. Right? I'm not tricking you. You're not using your brain. The Quran is the shafa. Ibn Majah, the wording is number 3533. The best shafa is the Quran. The Prophet changed the word. The best shafa. It is a cure for everything. And just in case you're wondering, it's the best shafa. This is why we're ill. Allah Ta'ala raises people with the Quran. He lowers people with the Quran. What has He put in this glorious month of Ramadan? Even before He mentions fasting, what does Allah Ta'ala mention? Shahru Ramadan. What's after that, Mustafa? So how would you translate that? And what does He mention after that? Fasting. Allah Ta'ala says, in the month of Ramadan, we reveal the Quran. Allah Ta'ala doesn't go to fasting because the Quran is the first port. Then now you ask a person, brother, we're in Ramadan. What's special about Ramadan? Fasting, brother. And you go, you forgot something. Brother, astaghfirullah, farad, right? And he goes, yeah, but doesn't Allah Ta'ala know what's more important? Quran. And that's why in Ramadan, you're doing the two amazing deeds. You're reciting the Quran, you're studying the Quran. We're now talking about the virtues of the Quran. And then you realize why Allah Ta'ala has placed it in Ramadan. Because He wants to give you the supreme shafa, the supreme honor, bring you back. And of course, fasting, the great blessings of fasting. So we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these closing hours of the holy month of Ramadan that He makes the Quran the Rabbi of our hearts. Ameen. I.e. the very life-giving source which revives our hearts. Ameen. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhanallahi rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asri lil insani lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr sallallahu alaihi wasallam.